following program is a special presentation from the Talking Information Center. Please enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Talking Information Center's Radio Theater. I'm Laura Kerrigan, your director. Before tonight's story begins, I'd like to thank the volunteers, sponsors, and donors who generously make all of our programming possible. We are especially grateful to the Abington, Brockton, Duxbury, East Bridgewater, Everett, Hanover, Hingham, Marshfield, Plymouth, Quincy, and Scituate Cultural Councils for sponsoring this year's radio theater season. Tonight we take you into the world of Gunsmoke, broadcast from 1952 to 1961 and set in Dodge City, Kansas, during the cattle drive era of the 1870s. The series captured an American West still raw, restless, and unforgiving. Gunsmoke was a Western for adults. There were no singing cowboys, no tidy endings, only flawed, desperate people struggling to survive on the frontier. Matt Marshall Dillon stood at the center of it all, a lonely, weathered lawman shaped by hardship. And Miss Kitty? Well, there was a lot of speculation about her profession. And as Time magazine famously observed in 1959, she's obviously not selling chocolate bars. Tonight's episode, Chester's Dilemma, was broadcast on CBS Radio back on January 31st, 1960. In this episode, Chester, Matt Dillon's loyal and good-hearted sidekick, has fallen for pretty Edna Walston. But does the object of Chester's affection want more than just his attention? Well, stay tuned, partner, because it's time for Gunsmoke.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke. The story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for, and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful, and a little lonely.
Sure can't find your order, Miss Kitty.
Don't worry about it, Mr. Jonas.
I saw Edna getting the things together, but what she did with them?
Mr. Jonas, I don't mind waiting.
Well, it bothers me. She should be here till 5 o'clock. But no, every afternoon come 4:30, she has to run off to the boarding house, change her clothes, comb her hair, and freshen up, as she keeps saying.
Well, if she's not a good worker, why do you keep her on?
No, I didn't say that. She's a fine worker. And smart, and pretty. Why, in the short time she's been here, she's cleaned that end of the store there from top to bottom. And everybody likes her. As a matter of fact, I'd hate to lose her.
Lose her?
Well, she keeps talking about San Francisco like it's the land of Canaan, and she couldn't wait to get there.
Maybe it's only talk.
Nah, I don't think so. She's too took up with the idea. And I get the notion that Dodge is just the place she ran out of money. And as soon as she saves up enough, she'll be on her way.
Did she ever tell you where she's from?
A farm someplace in Ohio, I think. She keeps saying how she misses the excitement of New York City and the opera and all. But then one day, we got talking about hogs and milk cows, and she let it slip. Almost bit her tongue off after she said it.
You think she's ashamed of being raised on a farm?
Nah, it ain't that. It's more like she was scared. Like she had to keep it a secret.
I'm back, Mr. Jonas. I'll just tie up the counter and... Miss Kitty.
Hello, Edna. My, you look pretty.
Why, thank you.
Miss Kitty is waiting for her order, Edna.
Oh, I've got it all wrapped and setting on the counter here.
That was very thoughtful. Mr. Jonas was just helping...
Oh, I knew you'd be in, so I told Mr. Jonas rather than have you wait, I'd get it ready, and he could give it to you. Here you are.
Miss Edna, it's almost 5 o'clock. Are you...
Oh,
Miss Kitty.
Hello, Chester.
I'm all ready, Mr. Proudfoot. Oh, you'll have to forgive the way I look, but I have been working all day, and a person does get a little wilted.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, well, shall we go? See you in the morning, Mr. Jonas.
All right, Edna.
Nice seeing you, Miss Kitty.
Nice seeing you. And you too, Chester.
Yes, it was, but very, very nice.
Mr. Jonas, I think you're wrong.
About what?
San Francisco. I think Dodge City is as far west as Edna plans to get.
I just think trains are the most exciting thing, Mr. Proudfoot, don't you? All that black smoke and the huffing and puffing and the way the whistle screams. Oh, it's like a big wild animal or a dragon.
Well, now, I never quite thought of it that way.
Oh, would you mind, Mr. Proudfoot, if I just held on to your arm till it leaves?
No, not if you're really scared.
Oh, my, but you're strong.
Well,
Oh, and you must be very brave, too, working with Marshal Dillon the way you do, fighting Indians.
Well, we don't fight many Indians.
Oh, and capturing rustlers and horse thieves and train robbers.
Well, every once in a while we...
Oh, I bet you've saved his life lots of times.
Mr. Dillon, he has a way of looking after himself. There she goes, you know. It is pretty exciting, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is.
Here's the marshal's mail, Chester.
Oh, thank you, Charlie. I'm just coming in to get it.
I think you and your pretty little helper can carry all that all by yourselves.
Oh, sure, Charlie. This little bit is... I think we'll manage all right. Oh, Charlie sure is a kidder.
Oh, I'll bet there are real important things in those letters.
No, once in a while there is. Don't seem to be much today, though. Just three wanted circulars and...
Oh, could I see one of them?
Well, I guess there ain't no harm. They're going to be posted anyways. Here.
Texas Sam? Oh, what a mean, terrible-looking person.
Now, that's not a real good picture of him. He's really...
Oh, don't show me the others. I don't want to know about such people.
Well, all right, but you asked.
But I would like to see those envelopes.
Now, Miss Edna, the U.S. mail is sort of sacred like.
Oh, Chester, just let me look. Oh, my, the Department of the Interior in Washington, D.C., and the U.S. Marshal's Office in St. Louis. Oh, my, all that important mail. It is a responsibility, isn't it?
I think I better walk you home now, so I can take the mail to the office. Mr. Dillon likes to look at it before he goes to supper.
Chester?
Yes, ma'am?
Oh, this boardwalk's terribly rough. Would you mind if I took your arm?
Oh, no, ma'am.
You sure that's the move you want to make?
I guess so.
That makes three games in a row, and I suppose I should feel flush with victory, but I find it absolutely no satisfaction in beating a half-hearted opponent.
What are you talking about?
What's your problem?
There's no problem, Doc.
Come on, out with it.
Well, you'll know sooner or later anyway. It's Chester.
Chester?
Has he been up to see you?
No, why? Is he sick?
Well, something's wrong with him.
Well, what are his symptoms? What does he do?
Nothing.
Well, then, what makes you think...
Those are his symptoms. He doesn't do anything. When he's here, he walks around with a blank expression. He doesn't hear anything I say. This place hasn't been swept in a week. I've made the coffee for 2 days. And day before yesterday, that drifter we had in the cell, he didn't get any supper.
That doesn't sound like Chester.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You have any idea what might be bothering him?
As a matter of fact, I do. The only thing that amazes me is that it hasn't happened long before this.
Well, what is it?
Chester is a victim of your ingratitude.
Oh, now, Doc.
That may sound silly, but it's a fact.
Look, Doc,
No. You listen. You ask my opinion, and I'm going to give it to you. I've seen cases like this before. A man goes on year after year doing his job, then suddenly one day he asks himself, why? Sure, he gets paid for it, but he has to feel that he's doing what he's doing is important, that the person he works for appreciates his efforts. If he doesn't, all the spunk goes out of him, and he begins to think maybe he should find something else to do.
You mean Chester's thinking about quitting?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Tell me, when was the last time you said something nice to him?
Something nice? Look, I can't run this office like a Sunday school. If I have to pat Chester on the back every time he
does... All right. You asked me and I told you. Just go on like you have been. No word of thanks. No praise. Barking orders. Expecting things to be done day after day.
Well, maybe you're right.
You certainly wouldn't want to lose a man like Chester because of your own stubbornness.
No, I wouldn't. Doc, it takes a real friend to be honest with a man, and the way you just were.
That's all right, Matt. That's what friends are for. Now, how about another game of checkers? And this time, see if you can give me a little competition.
There she goes.
Yep, there goes that old dragon.
Oh, it sure is exciting.
It sure is. Well, we better go to the depot and pick up the mail. Old Charlie must have it sorted by now. To get it to Mr. Dillon so we can look at it before supper.
Oh, you'll have time to walk home with me now, won't you?
Well, sure. I didn't mean that. I just meant...
I see you got your pretty little helper with you again, Chester.
I sure have.
It kind of brightens things up to have her come in with you every afternoon the way she does.
Is the mail sorted, Charlie?
Of course it is.
Well, could I have it then, please?
Here.
Thank you, Charlie. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, both of you.
You know, Chester, you're the nicest person I ever met.
I am? Well, that's that.
Oh, it's true. And I'll tell you something else.
What?
Well, this is a secret. Lean over so I can whisper it in your ear.
Well, just say it. Nobody can hear.
Lean over. That's what I think of you, Chester.
Well, now, ma'am, Miss Edna, that's very, I don't think Front Street is the place to,
Oh, it's all right, Chester. I don't care who knows.
I think I better take you home, huh? On account of Mr. Dillon will be mad if he don't get his mail.
Oh, it must be very important mail tonight. Let me see.
You know, you shouldn't do that, Miss Edna.
Oh, I know. The United States mail is sacred, and it's your job to protect it.
Please, give it to me, Miss Edna.
One from the Department of the Army, a circular, a catalog of firearms and ammunition, another circular, a letter from Ohio. Oops, I dropped that silly old catalog.
I'll get it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It ain't hurt none. It's the new catalog I sent for.
Oh, here are the letters.
Thank you. Miss Edna.
Well, what's the matter?
There was another letter here.
There was?
Now, you know there was. You had it right in your hand. There it is.
Where, Chester?
You stuck it in your shirt waist there.
Well, what makes you so sure that's your letter?
Well, it has to be.
Mr. Proudfoot, are you accusing me of stealing a silly old letter?
Well, no, ma'am. I suppose it could have got there by accident,
but... If you're so sure, why don't you just take it away from me?
Well, I couldn't.
But if you try, I'd scream like anything, and everybody in Dodge would think that Chester Proudfoot was a big, nasty old brute. Huh.
Miss Edna! Miss...
Good morning, Chester.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Dillon. Sorry I didn't get your breakfast this morning.
Why, every man has the right to sleep late now and then. And I think it's kind of good to eat breakfast out once in a while anyway.
I didn't close my eyes until after sunup, Mr. Dillon. I just tossed and turned, tossed.
You know, I think you've been working too hard, Chester. I think you should take a couple of days. Pack your saddlebag, take your fishing pole, ride out, and just loaf a little. Remember that little stream that cuts off at the Arkansas?
I remember it, Mr. Dillon. I just couldn't do that.
Well, I can manage without you here for a couple of days.
Mr. Dillon, if you want me to go away, you don't have to be nice about it. I understand.
Chester, I didn't say I want you to go away.
You said you could manage without me.
For 2 days. I figured you needed a rest, a change. You know, you got a tough job. I've got a tough job. Any marshal has. If he doesn't have help he can count on, his job is twice as tough. Now, you're a good assistant. You're loyal. You're dependable. And when you're covering my back with a rifle or a shotgun, I don't worry about what's behind me. I can think about what's in front of me.
Mr. Dillon?
Shut up! I'm not finished yet. Now, when I'm out on the prairie 4 or 5 days, a week at a time, I gotta have a companion I can stand to live with. Well, most of the time, I can stand you. Now, does that sound like I'm trying to get rid of you? Well, does it?
No, sir. Thank you very much. You just helped me make up my mind about something very important.
All right, then. Now, make up your mind to clean up this rat's nest from top to bottom before I get back. I'm going to the Long Branch.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
I don't know, Kitty. I guess I was pretty hard on him, but, well, maybe it helped. Anyway, sweet-talking him seemed to make him feel worse.
And that was Doc's idea, huh?
Yeah. He figured Chester needed some encouragement.
And what did you figure?
Well, nothing. I'm just tired of him mooning around like a lovesick calf, neglecting his work.
You said it. I didn't.
Said what?
Mooning like a lovesick calf.
Oh, nah. Kitty. Chester? Who?
You men. You get so wound up in your own little world, you don't see any of the interesting things that go on. I suppose now you're going to tell me you've never even heard of Edna Wallstrom.
Well, sure. She's the little girl Jonas hired to work in the store. Came to town a couple of weeks ago.
Well, she's not exactly a little girl. She's 22 if she's a day. She's very cute. And she set her cap for Chester.
Kitty, Chester isn't the kind to go chasing after girls.
I said she set her cap for him. She's got it all planned. She gets off work at 5, Chester meets her at the store, they walk down to the depot to wait for the 5:15, pick up the mail, and he walks her home.
And that's all?
That's all. It seems to be enough to keep him completely dazed all the next morning and afternoon.
Well, what do you know?
Well, speak of the devil.
Mr. Dillon?
Well, Chester... Miss Wallstrom?
Marshall?
I think you know Miss Kitty Russell.
Oh, yes, I do. Good evening, Miss Kitty.
Evening, Miss Kitty.
Well, won't you sit down?
We'll sit, but we're not going to drink. Miss Wallstrom has something to tell you, Mr. Dillon.
Well, in that case, I'll leave you three alone.
Oh, no, please stay, Miss Kitty. I don't mind.
Well, what is it?
I'm under arrest, Marshall.
What?
Chester arrested me for tampering with the U.S. mail.
Well, you didn't open the letter, Miss Edna. So that just makes it interfering instead of tampering.
That's still a pretty serious charge, Miss Wallstrom.
Oh, I know that now, Marshall, but I didn't really believe Chester until he showed it to me in a book. And he said he liked me very much, but if he didn't arrest me, he would be even guiltier than I am, because it wouldn't be loyal to you, and that a marshal has to be able to trust his assistant in everything.
Well, who was this letter addressed to?
To you, Marshall. Here it is. It's from Mr. Gruber, back on a farm near Akron, Ohio. And it's all a lie!
Well, if you haven't opened it, how do you know it's a lie?
Well, Mr. Dillon, this Mr. Gruber wrote to Miss Edna about a week ago and told her what he was going to do if she didn't get on the next train back to Ohio.
Well, let's find out.
If he'd only told me about this, Miss Edna, instead of trying to steal the letter.
Oh, I just didn't know what to do, Chester. I thought if the marshal didn't know about it, old Mr. Gruber would leave me alone.
Well, I know.
Miss Wallstrom, did you steal $200 from this Mr. Gruber?
No, sir, Marshal, I didn't. He gave it to me. It was a loan.
But he says here you signed a confession.
That's not true. Well, maybe it was a confession, but he told me I was signing a note.
And you're telling me the truth now?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, we'll find out who's lying tomorrow.
What do you mean, Mr. Dillon?
Gruber's getting into Dodge at 10 tomorrow morning.
Are you going to... put me in jail, Marshal?
No, you just stay on at the boarding house tonight, but right after breakfast tomorrow, you'd better show up at my office.
I certainly will. And, Marshal, if you can't make that mean old man tell the truth, I will.
When somebody breaks the law, they should be in jail.
Well, that may be true, Mr. Gruber, but this jail wasn't built for women. And I'm still not sure the law was broken.
You got my letter. I sent you her confession.
Yes, I know. And if you filed a complaint back in Ohio, I can hold her here in Dodge until they send someone to take her back.
But I'm already here. I will take her back.
Mr. Gruber, the law just doesn't work that way.
But why do you think I came? Why do you think I spent all that money?
I don't know. You say she stole $200. This trip must have cost you twice that much already.
That's right. And it would be worth every penny and more.
But why?
Because of that old fool Gruber.
What?
I'm sick and tired of being that old fool Gruber. Let's all laugh at that old fool Gruber. Everybody gets the best of that old fool Gruber. Well, this time, Gruber's going to win. This time, I'm going to laugh. They'll see another... Who is this?
This is my assistant, Chester Proudfoot.
Oh.
Chester, this is Mr. Gruber from Ohio.
I know. Here's a telegraph, Mr. Dillon, from the Akron Police.
Now we'll see if old Gruber's so foolish.
You've read it, Chester?
Yes, sir. I did.
Now you read it, Marshal. Go ahead.
Complaint against Edna Wahlstrom filed here by Hans Gruber, January 10. Charge, theft. If presently in your city, please apprehend and hold for extradition.
So now I want her arrested.
She's no criminal, Mr. Dillon.
You think not?
No, I don't. She's a real fine person. And if she did something wrong, she must have had a real good reason.
Chester.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dillon, but I'm real upset.
Now, you look here, young fella.
No, you look here. I think Miss Edna is a fine person, and I just won't believe she'd do anything real bad like stealing your money. She works hard. She's nice. And she's pretty. And she wouldn't do a thing like that.
You've got a lot to learn, young fella.
That may be, but there's one thing I know. If you say one mean thing about her when she gets here, if you try to scare her one little bit, it's going to make me madder than I am now.
Are you threatening me?
Chester, nobody's going to intimidate her. I'll see to that. Now, you calm down, and I promise you we'll get to the bottom of this just as soon as we...
Here she is, Matt.
Oh, hello, Kitty. Come on in, Miss Wahlstrom.
And you must be Hans Gruber.
That's right.
Well, I sure wouldn't be proud of it. This is one of the few times I wish I were a man. I'd cut the rail and carry both ends of it to ride you out of Dodge.
Kitty, I just got Chester calmed down, so don't you start. Miss Wahlstrom, do you know this man?
Well, that's Mr. Gruber.
Hello, Edna. Why did you do it, Edna?
Mr. Gruber, you told me when I signed the paper that now everything was all right. You know I was going to pay it back.
I don't mean about the money. Why did you run away? Everybody laughs at me.
I can't help that, Mr. Gruber. I had to do it.
But why?
I'll tell you why.
Kitty.
No, Matt, this is important. Mr. Gruber, you're a widower, aren't you?
That's right. 40 years now.
And Edna here was your housekeeper, your hired girl?
Yeah.
How much did you pay her?
Well, not so much maybe in money, but there's room and board, and I bought goods so she could make clothes.
And on fair day, one Friday a month, you took her to town with you, along with the chickens and the eggs and the pigs, and you gave her $2 to spend. Is that right?
Yeah, but
For that, she kept the house. She did the baking, the cooking, the washing and ironing, fed the pigs, fed the chickens, gathered the eggs, and when she wanted to leave, you wouldn't lend her enough money to live for 2 weeks while she went looking for another job.
Yeah, that is so. But I didn't want her to go away. She was always talking about New York or San Francisco. I was afraid if she had money, she would go away.
But you made it easy for her to steal the $200. Then you made her sign that silly confession so you could use it to frighten her into staying on the farm.
But it didn't work. She had the money. I couldn't find it. And she used it to go away.
Is that the story, Gruber?
Yeah, that's the story.
Hmm. You must be very proud of yourself.
No. No, I'm not. That's why I had to find you, Edna.
Oh, I don't even want to talk to you, Mr. Gruber.
You don't have to talk. Just listen. I will talk. I had to find you because, well, because I want you to be Mrs. Gruber.
What?
That's all right. You laugh. But you listen, too. I've hired a couple, Jakob Glasnik and his missus, to run the farm. And you know that little house with the green shutters? The Schaefer place we used to pass along when we go to town? The one you always like so much?
Well, what about it?
I bought it.
Oh, that's very nice, Mr. Gruber, but
wait, I'm not finished. Look in this envelope. Go ahead.
Train tickets to San Francisco.
And I wrote to the Palace Hotel. And they will get us married, and we'll stay there, and we'll buy some fancy clothes, and we'll go to the show houses, and...
Oh, Mr. Gruber.
I want you should call me Hans, Edna.
Oh, Hans. You're the nicest person I ever met.
There's a train at 5:15 if you get packed.
Oh, I can, Hans. But we'll have to hurry. You come with me and we'll get everything together.
What about this warrant?
I will write to them from San Francisco. Just forget about it, please.
But... Now, that's about...
Oh, I'm just so excited. I almost went off without saying goodbye. Miss Kitty... Thank you so much for helping me. And, Marshall, I'm sorry I took the letter. Really, I am. And Chester?
Yes, ma'am.
Please lean over.
Well, now.
Please. Chester, I think you're the second nicest person I ever met. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Edna.
I'm sorry, Chester.
Oh, that's all right, Miss Kitty. It's just... Mr. Dillon, some people sure is hard to figure out.
Chester, if by some people you mean women, they certainly are.
You've been listening to Gunsmoke, presented by the Talking Information Center's Radio Theater, sponsored by the Massachusetts Cultural Council. Tonight's episode, Chester's Dilemma, was originally broadcast on the CBS Radio Network on January 31st, 1960. Our performance was produced and directed by Laura Kerrigan and engineered by John Shea. The show features the voice talents of Rick Mason as Matt Dillon, Don Smith as Chester, George Krein as Doc, Pam Murphy as Kitty, Karen Hayes as Edna, John Kopek as Hans, Steve Mastrorilli as Jonas, and me, Matt Poro, as Charlie and your announcer. Gunsmoke joins several other radio theater productions available for streaming on the special programming page on the TIC app. On behalf of our cast and everyone here at the Talking Information Center, we would like to thank you for tuning in. Until next time, good night.